Now, I'm hoping you've had a great day. If I were to say, how many of you just feel so tired that it would be easy to take a nap during my sermon, how many of you would raise your hand? Come on, tell the truth. How many of you would raise your hand? I'm asking, you'd like to take a nap? We've got students. Welcome back. We appreciate you seeing you, appreciate hearing you during the singing. Great blessing. We've had a busy day, almost all of us. Now, some of you already had a nap, and you have no excuse. But what I want us to think about is how hard it is at the end of something, end of almost anything, to keep your faith strong, to keep your interest going. And I think about how hard it is for me to do things over a long period of time. I've moved a few times going away to school. In fact, the only time I've been away from Henderson since 1965 is to go to school, and I'd go to school a while and come back. And I know you're thinking I could have gotten a little more out of school, and I wish I had. A lot of people have wished that for me over the years. But I spent a lot of time away thinking about coming back. Every time I got ready to come back, I was so excited, I couldn't stand it. It was hard for those last few days to get done for me to pack everything up and get back to the garden spot of the world, which is Henderson, Tennessee. It was hard for me to finish strong. I just kept wanting to go. And we've got some seniors in here who are going to graduate maybe in December here in a couple of weeks. And I am sure if you're one of those, you are looking forward and anticipating walking across that stage. It's hard to finish. Hard to finish just one day. I've kind of illustrated that by thinking with you about all the things you've done today, and now you've come, and how hard is it to just think about God and to concentrate on God and to finish this day strong with your heart bowing before God and worshiping God. How do you recover spiritual enthusiasm? Well, Billy read for us a great, great passage a little while ago from the book of 2 Chronicles. And in this story, we have found Solomon and all of the people of Israel finishing this great project. It'd be almost impossible for us to imagine how excited the whole nation of Israel was at the completion of this temple. First of all, it was going to be a national and worldwide landmark. It was so neat and so beautiful. But it was the place God was going to come and meet with the people of God. They were excited about that. Remember how exciting it was the first time or two we met in this building? Now it's just old hat, isn't it? Just another old building. A few years old, another old building. I hope it's not that way for you. It's not for me. But we get used to things, and when we get used to things, it's really not as exciting as it could be. So I want to think with you about Solomon, first of all, starting out. He was starting out excited. Billy read about how this thing was finished. Verse 10 says, on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away to their homes. Listen to this. Joyful and glad of heart for their prosperity that the Lord had granted to David and to Solomon and to all of Israel. They were full of joy and gladness. Have you ever been there? One of the things about Solomon in his wisdom was he anticipated. He anticipated what's coming. He knew as he began to pray, he had a bronze platform built that was about 4.5 feet high. It was about 7.5 feet long and about 7.5 feet wide. Now, I thought about building one of those, but I just didn't know how. Second place, I'd have had a hard time getting up there. But he was on this platform. He went to his knees and he raised his hands to God and he began to pray. What in the world would you pray to a God when you've just been blessed to finish this great temple? He acknowledges in verse 10 Will God indeed dwell with man on the earth? Heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you. How much less this house that I built you? God had promised to be with them, but how much less could God be contained in a house, a place like this? No matter how large, no matter how beautiful, no matter how great, how can God be contained in this temple? And so Solomon starts out recognizing the greatness of God. And then he recognizes how hard it is to finish. They're getting a great start. They're going home with joy and gladness. But in chapter 6, as we begin to just think about what Solomon was praying about, verse 22 says, if a man sins against his neighbor and is made to take an oath and comes and swears his oath before the Father in this house, hear from heaven and act. Solomon is praying that God will listen when there are troubles between neighbors. Have you ever had any troubles between your neighbors? I don't mean just the person that lives next door to you. I mean the person that works next to you, the person that walks next to you sometimes, social settings. Have you had any difficulty? Solomon is knowing that's going to happen, and he's praying that God is going to listen. And then verse 24 says, if your people Israel are defeated before the enemy, there's going to be wars. God promises us there are going to be difficulties and circumstances that are going to come. They just keep coming, don't they? All of your life. They have been going on, and they will keep going on. But when they do, we are to call upon God, and Solomon is begging God to hear because he knows that we can't behave ourselves as nations, and we're going to be in trouble with other nations, and it's a very difficult life to live. So he prays for God to hear in those circumstances. And then he says in verse 26, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain, it's going to happen. We haven't had much rain this fall. There are times when crops don't get water and we don't do well. This year, I think it was great. We had a good early rain and a good later rain and we had good crops. But sometimes the heavens are going to be shut up. And when we're working hard and we're needing that rain to get that crop done and we need help, Solomon is begging God to hear. And then he says, if there's a famine in the land, if there's a pestilence or blight or mildew or locust or caterpillar, there are all kinds of circumstances and problems that are going to come into our lives. And when we begin to look at all the things that Solomon prayed for, if your people go out to battle against their enemies, by whatever way you send them, when they pray, listen. It's hard. Hard to finish because all of these things come into our lives. I wish that picture were a little bit more clear because if it did, you could really see some serious potholes in it. The first year I went to Haiti, we were driving along on a city street in Port-au-Prince, and we came up on a pothole, and I'm not exaggerating. You might not trust me, but you can trust Jan. You can ask Jan. We came upon a pothole on one of the streets that you could have driven an 18-wheeler down into. The pothole itself was about 3 feet deep, and it was almost as wide as the entire street. One of the days that we were there that week, it came a major rain, and we came down that street. You could not have driven across that pothole. You would have been in 3+ feet of water. And so cars were going way up on the sidewalk, almost by the stores and the businesses to get by that pothole. You got any potholes in your life tonight? You do. Almost everybody in this room has potholes. And life's pathways sometimes need repair. And so what we want to do is we want to think about what can we do about the potholes. You young folks over here, you're going to school, you got some tests coming up, I'm assuming, before Christmas. I don't know that. I don't even remember. It's been so long since I was there, I don't even remember what it was like. But I know you have some tests along the way. You probably got some coming up. If you do, it could be a pothole if you're not really prepared for them and ready for them, but you've got to get ready. God wants us to prepare ourselves. We've got people in the room with all kinds of circumstances. There are financial problems in some people's lives that are in this room. There are illnesses. There's death. There are all kinds of things that are going on in our lives. Those university students are getting ready for final exams in just a little bit. What are you going to do? Well, when you take a look at the passages that I have mentioned from chapter 6, and then you add to that what Billy read from chapter 7, don't go away from God. When those problems come into your life, people in our world have a tendency to run from God. They get upset with God. They get hurt with God. They stop worship. They stop reading the Bible. They stop praying. In every one of those instances, he talked about if sin comes into your life, pray. Pray that the God of heaven will hear. And Solomon's prayer was to God that he would listen to what they had to say. And so I'm saying tonight, if you want to recover some spiritual enthusiasm, if you're bogged down with tests and life and assignments and sickness and business life and relationship problems, listen to the need that we have for revival. We have all of life's pressures. We have all kinds of anxieties in our lives. We have relationship issues. We have illness in our lives. We have future worries. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. We get so uptight about that. We don't know exactly what to do. We have university students that will graduate and have no idea what they want to do. And they're anxious about that, rightfully so. They have spent at least 4 years in school, and they don't have a clue yet about what they want to do with their lives. And so they have future worries. And then, if you notice what Solomon says in chapter 6, and when your people sin, and he says, everybody will. You see, that's not a new phenomenon. That's not a 2016 phenomenon. Sin has been around since the Garden of Eden. And Solomon prayed to God, when we sin, if we will call upon you and turn back to you, hear us. Let us come back, Solomon is saying. So we have all of these problems, and when we do, we have the need for a revival. We want to feel better. You see, some of you, it's just the way life is, and I'm not fussing, I promise. Some of you want to get out of this room, and it will be such a relaxing thing to hear that final amen. That's the way we live life. Let me get out of this and move into something else, and I'll feel better. I'll get better. I'll have more fun. I'll be more free. I'll be more relaxed. But you see, it's not really the answer. The answer is for you, wherever you are, and right now you're here, think about calling upon God about any of these things, and then like Solomon, begging Solomon to hear. Pray that your people will humble themselves, Solomon says. Humility is a great key. Have y'all ever noticed that you really do know how to keep Billy and Roy humble, or at least you try? We'll be standing at the back, and somebody will come along and say something like, you know, that was a really good sermon, but if you had included this and that, it would have really been good. Some of you have done that. You help keep us grounded and recognizing that we're not going to get it done the way you want it done sometimes. I read a story about a guy that went to do a gospel meeting, and after the meeting, he felt pretty good about his sermon. He thought he had delivered a good sermon that a congregation ought to hear, and he was standing at the back, and the people were coming by, and they were very gracious, just like almost every one of you is. Until one little lady came by. I don't think she's a member here, but she could be. She came by as people were praising the sermon and bragging on the preacher. She just walked by and she didn't say anything, but she said, too long. And she walked on. Well, other people kept coming by, and all of a sudden he noticed this lady back in line, and she walked by a second time. She said, too loud, and she just walked on. He noticed her coming back a third time, and she walked by this time, and she said, and it was the most boring thing I've ever heard in my life. And she just walked on away. One of the church leaders overheard her each time because she was pretty loud. And the church leader came up to this preacher, put his arm around the preacher and said, "Listen, you should not take seriously what this lady says. She has a real problem with some dementia, and she does not know what she's saying. All she does is go around repeating what everybody around her is saying." And so you all know how to keep us humble. But let me tell you, humility is an important part of our lives. I want to tell you what I think is the truth. I think this is very biblical, though it's my opinion. I think it's very biblical opinion. If you are sitting here miserable tonight, whether I'm too loud, whether it's too long, or whether it's boring, or whether you need to be somewhere else, or whether you've got a bazillion things on your mind, the problem is you cannot quit thinking about you. You are focused on you. How bored I am, how long this is for me, how terribly loud the preacher is. It's about you, your upset state of mind, your boredom, whatever it is that's bothering you is about you. It's not about me. I may be long, I may be loud, I may be boring, but I'm telling you, that's not the problem. The problem is you've elevated yourself to the highest standard in your mind. Not really giving God the appropriate place, you've elevated yourself to that place of prominence so that if everything isn't exactly the way I want it, I am bored, I'm just ready to get out of here, it's I. And you see, what we fail to do is to think about what should be going on in our lives. And so Solomon is praying that God's people would humble themselves. Humble themselves. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. It's better to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. None of us really can stand to be around people who are arrogant because of their pride. We hate it. And yet, we let pride dominate us. It may not be an outward pride that demonstrates itself in overt arrogance, but it's a subtle pride that says, if I don't get what I want, I'm going to be fired up. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God in none. God is in none of his thoughts. When we start thinking about how to build ourselves up and get renewed, we need to humble ourselves and get rid of pride. Well, if we do, what do I get for it? You know, I want to know, what do I get for it? If I come to church tonight because my mom makes me, what do I get out of that? If I come because I feel pressured and everybody's going to think I'm not a good person if I don't show up, what am I going to get out of it? We want what's in it for us. Most everybody does, you see, because we are full of ourselves. But God says, if you could humble yourself and turn yourself over to God for a while, here is the result. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the just. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. God so wants to give you so many things that you do not deserve. But when we elevate ourselves to the position of a God, demanding everything be what we want it and how we want it, we don't get from God what he so desires to give us. God gives us what we need when we humble ourselves before him. Not because we are now somehow deserving, but because we have finally come to the realization that we are not deserving. You see, if you think you deserve the greatest preacher in the world, you're going to be miserable tonight. If you think you deserve the greatest worship that's ever been, and you are the judge of that worship, you are probably going to be one miserable person. We need God's grace. And God's grace comes to the humble. But secondly, Solomon said, when we sin, and then he inserts, everybody will. Everybody in this room will. We need God's grace. We don't deserve it. But in His grace, He's forgiving. And so we read the wise man telling us that he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. We need God's forgiveness, and God's forgiveness is only going to come to people who are humble. When we do what God wants us to, we take ourselves out of the chief seat and we give that chief seat to God. He promises us great, great blessings. In 1 Peter 5, we need this passage so very much every day. We all ought to have it in our mind, in our heart, and in our lives every day. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Listen. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. And then verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I'm convinced that the reason when people have those potholes in life and they are miserable and they start turning away from God, I am convinced the devil has a great hand in that. If your heart is stirred up tonight because you've placed yourself up on the throne of your life and you are demanding life be exactly what you want, the devil is absolutely loving it. And I believe that's also very biblical, because the very next verse that I don't have on the screen tells us that we need to be sober. We need to be watchful. When we have all of these problems and we have a chance to cast our cares upon the Lord because He cares for you, you be thoughtful. You be sober. You be watchful, because it's under the pressures of life. It's when you think you're being mistreated. It's when you're not getting your way. You don't get to do what you want to do, and things are not exactly how you planned life to be. Then the devil is waiting. You be sober. You be watchful. Why? Because the devil, your adversary, is waiting around. He's going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If tonight you're down in the dumps for whatever reason, and if we're just looking at the world, there's lots of reason to be down in the dumps. Doesn't take a genius to figure that out. When people are struggling because of the loss of a loved one, there's good reason to be down in the dumps, as we say. If you've lost a job, and perhaps some of you have, it doesn't take a genius to know that you are probably down in the dumps. If you are struggling helping an elderly parent or someone who is in great need of your constant care, it's easy to struggle and be down in the dumps. If you've got a relationship problem in the home, or dating, it's easy to see when those relationships are falling apart how easy it is for us to be down in the dumps. You see, the devil has got you where he wants you if you hold on to those problems instead of letting the Lord have those problems. God wants to bless you, but he cannot, based on his word, if you hold on. And you will not humble yourself and call upon God to bless you and to help you. But here's what God says. If you will humble yourselves and pray, one of the things I'm going to do is give you my ear. Cora wanted me to listen to her the other day, and she said, "Peepaw, will you listen to me?" And I said, "I've been listening to you." She said, "No, you haven't." And so I turned the TV off, and I said, "Okay, go for it." Is that not what we want with God? We don't want God watching some football game when we're trying to call attention to some of the needs that we have. We don't want him interested in some big plate of food in there in the kitchen that smells so great and we're so hungry. We want God listening to us. God says he will hear. Psalm 10 and verse 17 says, "Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear." Isn't that what you want? Don't you want God to hear you tonight? If those potholes in your life are very big, I can tell you that you do. Humility that leads us to prayer is the key to a spiritual revival in our lives, no matter where you are. If it's just the end of this day, if it's the end of a semester for students, if it's the end of a job, if you're retiring, or those of us that are older, we don't know when the end of life is going to be. Neither do the young people, but it might be that you're planning how you want your life to end. But if you want a spiritual revival near the end, if my people who are called by my name, that's us. That is us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, we have to be active in this. It's not a matter of us just being on our knees as Solomon was with his hands extended toward heaven, and that's the end of it. We must seek his face, and we must turn from sin and live righteously and godly. If we do those things, here's God's promise. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin. I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to my prayer. When I begin to think about all that God has promised us, it is so great. And as I think about what we want from God, we want God's attention. We want him listening to us. We want him blessing us. But if we do, humble ourselves. You see, if you're a child of God and your life is so burdened with your miseries that you could hardly stand up for the invitation, you want to be revived? Come down here and pray. Let us pray with you and for you. Let's humble ourselves before God and seek his great gifts, his great blessings, his great forgiveness, his great grace. You do that, and I can tell you, you're going to have a start to a great night and a great day tomorrow. It may be that there are people in this room that have never started on that journey. You've never humbled yourself to bow before God, to recognize the need to turn away from sin, be baptized into the body of Christ. As Billy talked about this morning, have your sins washed away, to be raised, revived, ready to start life with a clean slate because of God granting his blessings to you. Is it a need that you have to humble yourselves before God in a public way? We want to help you, but way beyond that, God would love to help you. If you need, come as we stand and as we sing.
Have you a heart?